what's up?
Yo, what's up, Rudy?
What's up, Rudy?
Yo, what up?
We're recording Rudy already, so just so you know.
I'm sorry.
No, We're not live. It's
we're
all
not
good.
Live.
We like our little candid intro. What's up, man?
What up, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome to the G30 podcast. I am Nels with Timmy and Mike and Rudy today. What's up, guys?
Yo, we're good. What's up, guys?
Rudy, did you watch this game just now?
I was about to call it right. Like, I legit thought I was gonna come in here with more of a up, you know,
fucking up in arms,
a little more cheery.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too.
Not the case, but it's all right. Sorry.
So, what are you thinking? Like, we can just jump in. What are you thinking about it?
I think my only problem right now is that the first half team, you know, was filled with a bunch of kids from G2, you know, trialists and all that, and they performed well, right? 2-1 down, I get it, I get the scoreline, but, like, they moved in the way that we saw the first team move in the first game in the first half, right? Like, it was similar to that, and I was impressed by that because I want to see that throughout the whole team, right? First team, G2, I want to see the academy, everybody move the same way so that we can have a structure to kind of move players up. What was disappointing was the second half. Like, straight up, and I know I'm bypassing everything good in the first half, but disappointing was the second half. Because it just kind of fell apart. And I get it, you know, you have to get up to speed and all that, but there was no resemblance to what we saw in the first half, at least when it came to teamwork. And that kind of baffled me a bit because we fell apart pretty quick, in my opinion.
You know what's funny, Rudy? Mike and I were watching it here. We were watching it together. It's the first game we've watched together in a long time. And when we saw the subs at halftime, we were like, oh, okay. Like, if this is kind of like if the C team played first and then we have the B team, like, this is a nice looking B team, but then they played like shit. So what does that mean?
Yeah. It doesn't have to mean anything, right? And it's straight up. Like, I think there's still a lot of missing pieces to what I assume is going to be in the first team when the first game comes about in Miami. So it can't mean, it could really mean nothing, but at the same time, it could be alarming. Right, because this second half team resembled a lot of what we saw last year.
I wanted to touch upon that. It's I had that initial reaction of where it's like where I was watching the game with Nelson, the like Augie Williams and Kleschen and like all of our boys came on, and then it sort of just fell flat footed in the final third. Like, it was just so static. It was like, damn, like the young boys fucking made you guys look like shit.
Yep.
Crazy.
It
was contagious, right? Because I was really impressed with Drag in the first half.
Me too.
My thoughts exactly. I was like, big takeaway.
Yeah, I even saw a lot of what I saw Julian like his first year, mm-hmm. right? Where mm-hmm. you saw there's a lot of talent. There's some brashness to it still, right? Like, he has to get fine tuned and all that. But there was a lot of good take on it. And then second half, like, even he looked different, right? Like, maybe it was the support that wasn't there, or maybe the moves weren't the same as in the mm-hmm. first half. But it wasn't necessarily the same track, right? Which, again, it's weird to say that, right? Because you're playing with a bunch of kids who are not used to, like, the first team, not used to, like, the big stadium, and you play well, and then you get some players who are more used to that scenario, and it looks worse.
They get comfortable, you know? I felt it was like the naiveness of the young guys that made them look good, because they all have something to prove, and then once Dunbar and Zubox fucking played for like all 30 minutes of that half, it was like, dude, get the fuck off.
Timmy, what'd you see in Zubac? Timmy, you were tweeting earlier in the game.
Oh my god.
Timmy's got to get on the stand right now and talk about Zubac a little bit.
All I'm gonna say is he had me in the first half. I'm not gonna lie to you, he had me in the first half.
What did you like about it?
Because he looked like he had a better touch. His first touch was a lot better from what I saw. Because you know how he usually gets the ball and he loses control and then he misses a goal in front. Like, the goal, I mean, he misses the goal that's put in front of him. So, like, when I saw him do that, I'm like, oh, okay, are we going to see a new Zubac? But then the rest of the game started happening and I'm like, oh, back to square run.
But see, like with Zubac with me, like, he just doesn't have the killer instinct.
He doesn't.
Josh Gessman tweeted out something that I was thinking. Like, there's a ball that Kronik runs all the way end line, right? He gets there, puts in a dope cross, and Zubac's nowhere to be found because he just didn't, you know, he doesn't have that instinct to be like, if there's a chance, like, I'm gonna be there, right?
He like drops
exactly.
off.
Yeah, and he does that kind of weird GBS system thing, right? Where like he turns around and like looks behind him, kind of like Lejeune did. He like turned around and like, you know, and it was, disconnected and weird. And we were joking, like we went on Instagram at halftime and we were joking. We were like, Zubac looks too old to be on G2.
It's like super
senior, dog. Not good enough to be on G1. So like where?
Man, that's, I think word by word, that's Angel saying, right? Like he's not good. He's too good to be in USL, but he's nowhere near too good enough to be in the first team for LA Galaxy and MLS. Right. So like, where do you stand? I don't know. Maybe in RSL. Right, maybe yeah. maybe a team
yeah.
like
maybe
yeah. yeah, Colorado Rapids.
You know, yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, you probably do well in those teams, right? But it's, I think the Galaxy, even when we're shit, we have a different standard.
It just moves too quick for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he gets gas really easily. I noticed.
Let's back up a little bit. We came in really hot, and I like our pod always goes like real quick, right? But let's back up a little bit and actually introduce Rudy. And like maybe we have listeners that don't listen to your pod, Rudy. So would you like to like talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I'm the host for Straight from the Stands, along with George, Angel, and Masa. We're going on for our fourth season now. And it's similar to you guys, except that we just talk a lot more. we just don't know how to shut up. It's me and Angel who really can't shut up at all. And your listeners are probably getting privy to this now because I don't shut up. But yeah, we just do a lot of hot takes. Our podcast is really the every man's podcast, right? Or every person's podcast, because we're that bar talk, right? We're not journalists. We're not analysts, right? We're none of that. We see the game. And we shoot the shit. I could curse, right?
Yeah,
you're good.
Yeah, 100%.
I think I might have cursed like 10 times already, but now I'm asking.
You're good.
yeah, so we just shoot the shit. It's really what it is. And me and Angel don't see eye to eye a lot in a lot of things. So it makes for great content when we start arguing and fighting each other. And then you have Masa with Zingers and George with Singers. So it's a good time. But again, it's really, you know, though we make a lot of mistakes when it comes to stats and stuff like that. So it's not a place you want to go for the absolute, you know, stats yeah. all that. But if you want to hear an opinion, whether it's like-minded or not, I think it's great content because we just, you know, we have that opinion. It's just something different.
For yeah. sure. And I respect you guys a lot for that because, like, I can go to, like, the corner of the galaxy and be like, oh, okay. Like, if I'm going to go there, I'm going to be like, okay, I understand the stats. But if I want to, you know, if I'm pissed off and I want to, like, you know, ran off some of that energy, I'm going to go to that Straight from the Stands chat room and be like, yo, oh, y'all saw that, right? And then you guys yeah. would be like, yeah, we saw that. That's just bullshit. And then you guys would keep it straight up too. That's what I like about you guys as well. You guys keep it 100, yeah. like 100%. Yeah, I know you're more of the naive one, but luckily me and Count are on the positive side as well. So
I was joking about that through the forever optimist. Mike's the odd man out here. Mike's like super pessimistic. I think he tries to keep it real, but I'm. Yeah. Me and Timmy are the forever optimist too, Rudy.
Yeah, man. I drink the Kool-Aid way fast. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of looks good. I'm like, yeah, let's go. I'm all about it. Like, but I love this team, man. Like, it's a idiotic way. I really, really love this team. You know what I mean? Like, bad times, good times. I'm always there.
I think that's a good note to, like, back up to that first preseason game, right? Like, we just came off a down, right? Now it's like, oh, 4-1. What did you see in that first preseason game that you liked? And then what did you see that was like maybe still a little bit concerning?
So again, right, perfect with a segue. We just talked about how I'm positive and I'm always hyped about stuff, right? So I didn't see a lot I didn't like, but I did see a lot of like, right? I'll start off with the way the team moved as a unit in that game, right? Mostly in the first half, 60 minutes of that game where we saw like consistency with some of the players. I like the way they moved. When it came to pressing up higher in the field, there was the whole unit moving. It wasn't gaps in between the team, right? When it came to passing, the movement was still in sync, like players checking in and players making a run without losing shape. And when they lost shape, coming back and finding shape almost immediately was really, really, really key for me. Something I stressed a lot last season was the fact that we couldn't hold shape and we didn't know where we needed to be at, right? Because it was easy as losing the ball in the attacking third. And the other team had a chance because we're all over the place, right? Like our wing backs were way too high, our center backs were stretched. Our midfield was lost. Like, I didn't see a lot of that. You know, the first preseason game, there was times where we got caught, but I think it's also, we had Jalen Neal as a right back, which was definitely not, especially we saw that today. I think he was probably a bright spot in this game, and at the right back, it wasn't him. You know, Angel brought it up and it kind of made me believe this, but I think Dupuy and Steris kind of, they needed to step up and they didn't, right, in that game. Big takeaway is Bond is our number one. Bondi's yeah. the number one, right? Like, I've played keeper my whole life. So when I just see him do like the right things, just the right. I mean, he did a lot of things that were impressive, but when he does the right things, right after, especially last season with Bing, I'm like, it's a breath of fresh air, right? And it's something sure. that I'm excited for, especially like, and this might be just a tactical thing, but like the defense is comfortable passing him the ball.
Yep.
Right. At his feet. But he booted it whenever you need to, and he looked for outlet passes when he had the chance. And that's okay, right? Because last year and partly the last 3 years, we saw a team real hesitant to give the ball back to Bingham, right? Like,
yep. They're like, where do we go? Where do we go with it?
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, the fact that they at least, you know, from practice or whatnot, they found confidence in that, I think it's a big thing for us because it'll help us with keeping possession. And something we did do that game is dictated the tempo of the game, right? A lot of times you just get run over because the other team was telling us, like, we're going to play fast or we're going to play slow, and we had no say in it. When the first game against the Revs, the first preseason game, we dictated 60 minutes of that game, especially in the first half. Yep. I think it was like the 30th minute when I watched it with George, and I was like, yo, we've been on their half like pretty much the whole 30 minutes, right? Yep. A few chances where they break away, but like consistently it was on their end, whether it was defending on their end or attacking in their end, but we're in their end, and that's a good look.
Yep.
Yep, for sure.
Mike, what you think, Mike? What are your either game at this point, like bright spots, what do you think? Yeah, what are you concerned about? So.
I sort of want to piggyback off what Rudy had said, and it was just sort of like that tempo that Benny made such a big deal with, like talking about all the pressers. It's just we did a good job in that first game of final third and just staying in their half. Like, we were very reluctant, it seems, to go on the back foot, and it seemed like we were sort of itching to get forward. And unfortunately, like, when we get caught out, sometimes you have guys that scramble, and that just comes down to the inexperience of the back line, which you only fix with more game time. I like Neil in the game today, and you paired him along. I forget the kid's name, the other center.
Furkanis.
Yeah, like, he had that dumb like slip up with Klinsmann in the first like 3 minutes, and we can look past it a little bit, but Neil was nice today. I really, really fucking enjoyed Drak today. He was fantastic. It's just very refreshing to see a fullback that just didn't lob fucking crosses into the box. It's just like, he can play with it, he can move out of space, and he can also fill a lane. And I also liked it when we paired Drak with Kai. It felt like they had some sort of chemistry there. When Zubac came in, it was just like, fuck, dude.
Zubac on the wing is weird. That's a good segue too. Like, Timmy, what's up? Aside from Zubac, Timmy, we're giving you a hard time today. What did you like, man? What did you like in these games, and what are you thinking?
I liked how Greg Vanney kept his word on saying that we're going to try and build our offense from the back line all the way up. So, because I don't know if you guys saw in the first game that a lot of the balls were being passed back in the defense, kind of like, control the tempo of like the midfield. And I kind of like how like it just built up from that, because we have so much momentum. We have so much like confidence in Bondi boy. And it was just like a whole different team I saw out there. And the little play that crossfired between Dunbar and Chicha, where he almost got Dunbar that goal. Oh my God. If Dunbar would have scored that, I would have lost it. I really would have. But Chicha got on the assist board, I guess you could say. But I don't know. Would y'all count that assist? Oh, also, Mike and I were debating about this, because he said that the Johnny Perez goal was lucky. But I said it was good position by Johnny Perez. But like, I don't know.
It's instinct.
Can I throw something out there?
Yeah, go.
Like, go for it.
More than luck and more than good position, I think it was brave. Right? Mm-hmm. I talked about this on Monday. Like, most of the time you're gonna collide with a keeper there. Yeah. And Perez is not that big. You know what I mean? Perez is not that big.
And he went fucking head first,
Yes.
I'm saying, like you have to be brave and you have to want it to go up for that, right? Because, I mean, that play happens over and over again in football. And a lot of times you see the striker just kind of hesitates to go in or doesn't go in at all because you're going to hit the goalie most of the time, right? For Perez, luckily the goalkeeper like came out weird and soft, but he was brave enough to be there and to put himself there and get the goal. So, like, whether it's luck or precision, I'm going to give credit to the guy because, like, it takes some balls to
push
something that's really shaking. It was hunger, man. And like that I saw, and that was like my big up, was like the hunger in that first game. It was a bummer today to not see it, but you didn't have a lot of the same guys. I liked hearing Bond shout. Yes. I like very vocal. You could hear him calling people by their name. I don't know if I ever heard Bingham do that, proactively. It was always reactive. He was like, what are you doing? Stairs or whatever, right? So, but
I usually sit like in the first few rows of 121 or 122. And that was always my issue. Like, you're the back, like, you're watching the whole game in front of you the whole time. Like, you need to be loud and dictating. You're the maestro back there, just kind of, you know, moving your wand and telling you where they need to go. And Bingham never had that, right? Bondi, like, we got a tweet sent to us saying, like, yo, I was in the stadium and you hear this guy like from everywhere and say, obviously there's no fans, so you know, a lot of that reverb or whatever, but the fact that he's out there like that, I love it, right? Especially when you have Steris and the Pew at center back, because they don't talk either, right? So you have the one captain in the back, and that's Bond. I'm okay with that, man. Plus, he's doing what he was doing. You know, he's doing Bond things. Like, I like all that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you talked about sitting, right? We're going back into the stadium. It looks like I got my message today that it is by, like, premium and then however long you've had it. I thought it was interesting how they chunked it, right? Like, they went from 96 to like 14. That's like a huge fucking amount of time. And then 15. And now it's like, I'm on the bottom. I've been like set since 17 or whatever, having season tickets. So I'll be last. But Rudy, being so involved in ACB, and I understand that this is a loaded question and I don't want to put you like on a hot spot, but I'd love to know if you can say, like, what you think about how they've handled this, because the big question across all of the channels and everything is like, what about the supporters groups? Right. So I'd just love to hear what you think about that.
Yeah. I can't disclose too much of it, but I'll say this much, like, that's been something we've been going back and forth with FO, since like we heard about it, I think maybe about a month back. It's because it's B block, right? It's Victoria block. It's 121, 122, more important to me. Again, no hate to Outlaws and Galaxy and their fam, but, you know, I'm definitely concerned with 121, 122, and the fact that I need that to be a supporter section, right? Limited capacity, cool, but I need that to be a supporter section, right? Like, sell these tickets to my supporters. But I also understand the business side of it, right? You got season ticket members who put money up front. Every year they put money up front, and you got to take care of them too. So it's been a struggle. I'll say this much, like, Victoria Block should be full of supporters. There will be social distancing, and I think they're applying it pretty strictly. I don't see us kind of, I'm not sure if you guys like often sit with us or not, but it's usually a free fall, right? Like, you show up and you're there. For somebody like me, like, I'm in like all four sections throughout the game, right? Kind of just move around, help out wherever I can, and just chop it up with people. Well, that's going to be gone, at least initially, right? Because you're going to be almost set to your pod, which I understand. Listen, I want to be in the stadium bad, right? Like, I miss it. But I'm also very careful with where I've been and where I've gone lately, right? Or like last year, because I want to be safe, man. I got family. I'm a big guy. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not necessarily sure how I'll take for COVID. So, like, I don't want to be exposed to anything like that. So I understand that it's a fine line between, you know, I want B block to be B block, and also we got to be safe, and also that's the business, right? So it's tough, but I'll say this: if people are in B block, there will be noise in B block. People are in 121, 122, there will.
Yeah, man. That's what we like to hear.
And we're with you, man. And of course, like, our position has always been like, if we're gonna do it safely, you know. Some of us have had the privilege to be vaccinated, and some, you know, we're very cognizant that, like, not everybody is like everybody's situation is different. People have family. I've been in my house too, because of my family, way more than people I know for a year, you know, like, it's everybody's in a different spot.
And me included, bro. We're from the same. Like...
Yeah. I've seen my brother like three times this year.
I hear you.
So, yeah, man, it's for sure. Well, go ahead.
I'll say, like, the good thing is, it seems like, you know, both cases are dropping and vaccine is going to be more readily available. So hopefully, like, towards the end of the year, we'll see a little bit more normalcy, which is what I'm looking forward to, because I want to hug people. I'm a hugger. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
For now, I'll fucking, you know, I'll give you an elbow bump, right? But I'm ready for a day I can just kind of dap it up and hug my people. Hopefully soon.
That's cool. Yeah, man. Well, we've been all over the place now. I'm looking at the notes now. We had like the U.S. crashed out of the Olympics. That was terrible, unacceptable. Taylor Twellman and Josie getting after it today. I don't know.
So much happened.
I'm not prepared to like talk about that right now. I don't know, but God. it's loaded. It's U.S. soccer's a mess right now. Just wanted to acknowledge that. We were talking, we've talked about the Vanny system a little bit already. But seeing us today was like Zlatan Day, right? And thanks, shout out to Galaxy History, right? Like signing Landon Donovan Day, that went under now. That's like that's unfortunate crazy. It went under that it's the same day. Recency bias. Where were you during the Zlatan goal, Rudy?
Oh, in the stands with like with a packed house under like what was hell's hottest shit that day.
And it was mad as fuck,
right? Like I was upset. I was like, I was yapping and I was just, yeah, it was all kinds of bad. And then it turned. And then like with a snap of finger, everything turned over, upside down.
That was crazy.
Yeah. So I was literally 121. I'm pretty sure we have still have bleachers. So I was standing on a bleacher, like, you know, jumping.
Yeah, just going crazy.
Trying to figure something out. Yeah. Yeah. I'll never forget that though, man. It was, man, like, so ACB, like, you know, sometimes gets like, oh, these guys are badasses. But that goal happened, and there's a bunch of fucking men crying. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of tears in men's eyes. Right? Like,
dude, I cried too.
Happening. Like, you know what I mean?
Dude, I cried
a bunch
too.
Of men.
You don't see that every day at the digs, man. That's a one-of-a-kind goal.
Timmy, where were you?
I was in the VIP section with my boy, who is
a rich Galaxy fan.
Hey, for real, though. But unfortunately, I went with my best friend, who is a Levas fan. He was bugging me the first three girls. I'm like, oh my God, please don't. But then Zlatan came on. I'm like, bro, this is a perfect plate for like disaster, bro. And then Zlatan did that. I went numb, dude. I was like, oh my God. I was in such shock and I was in tears. I was like, man, I can't believe he just did that. And then the fourth goal happened. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating. Face. I'm like, well, what'd you say?
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Mike and I were sitting with our heads between our knees at halftime because it was me, Mike was there, my wife, and her sister and her brother. So my in-laws, who were like LAFC fans, knew, and they were talking all of this shit. And then like it happened, and like Mike and I looked at each other, and like they disappeared. And then when we calmed down and realized what happened, we looked over at them, and it was like, yeah. That's
dude, there is no bullshit. I will drop this in the Galaxy Discord. There is a video of me on 433, the soccer Instagram, in our section, and I'm like, we was like on my fucking feet screaming because we were down fucking 3-1.
We gotta find that.
I'm pretty sure I have that on my phone somewhere, but that's hilarious.
It was great.
Oh my God.
I've been to MLS Cups at the stadium, right? Like I've seen the cup being lifted at the stadium. The energy in that game mimics that experience, right? Like the energy in that game is that good. Like the roar after the first goal reminded me of the whistle being blown after, you know, after Houston. You know what I mean? It reminds me of that.
Mike's throwing up a picture. We'll put that up on Instagram. Yeah. So that's a great question. Like a great segue. We had a little history question here. You know, what moment for you, Rudy, or for what player, what moment made you, can if you can remember, fall in love with the Galaxy?
Oh man, so I'll answer it in two part, right? I remember Rose Bowl days for July 4th. Like that's my like my sweet spot for the Galaxy, right? Because it was like the whole fam will show up to the Galaxy, to Rose Bowl, right, and play soccer in the grass and do the whole fan fest, and then like it was a stadium. I remember so vividly, like they used to give you, you know, the match day books, right? And me and my brother and like my cousins, we all just rip it. And that was the confetti after every goal. Like you just kind of toss it up and then you pick it up from the ground and do the whole game, right? Like, so that's where it starts. And then like where I like devoted, like every moment I have to spare for the G's has been after we lost the Western Conference Final versus Dallas in 2010, right? It was a shit game. It was a weird game. It was a gang events happened the day, but what was big was that we used to exit I think that's the Northeast exit, which is like the one by the TMLA store on that side. So we used to exit through there, but for some reason they had closed the gate, so we couldn't exit. So what do you do when you have, you know, 200, 300 ACB people like waiting to get out? They start playing the drums and we start chanting, right? And now you have like random people from like all the other sections kind of just joining there and kind of like getting involved in like being a thing. Man, like we were there for like 30 minutes and it was amazing. Like it was just amazing because like the noise, the atmosphere, and like people who are not ACB, people who are not, you know, stand with us before, they were just kind of joining in. So much so that when 2011 came around, like our section saw a big boom, right? Because of that, like that event, because the facilities were somehow like, I forgot what there was, I'm sure there was a reason, I just don't remember, but like facilities closed the gates down and they gave us the opportunity to do that. So like that moment, like, after that, it was a wrap because, like, I really liked ACB, but that moment I fell in love with ACB. You know what I mean? It became my everything after that.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It, for me, it was, I mean, I've been around since like 08, 09, but like 2011 really did it for me. And from that point on and just growing, like, we've been talking about on all the pods, I think, about the community and the family and like really like having those moments where you look to the person on either side of you and you're like, these are my people. And like, you don't even know that person, you know, and like having that realization is so powerful. But this is an intergenerational Galaxy podcast. So I'd love to hear like from the young guns, like what. Let's hear.
I'll let you punch your G card to me first.
All right, for sure. Obviously, I'm a young G. I wish I would be there the first time this club was ever established, but unfortunately, I wasn't. But my most fond memories are always the El Traficos at the Dignity Health Sports Park. The energy is just different. And a moment that's really special to me is that when Zlatan scored that overhead goal for the first goal against LAFC, the second El Tráfico match where Zlatan scored the hat trick, and I see my uncle and my cousin hugging each other, and I just had to go and join them, dude, because I don't see that every day. Yeah. They're not old school, but like, you know, I don't see them like hug like that, like the time.
Really, so they
really embrace themselves, and I just, I don't know. I didn't get teary eyed, but I was just like, I was a little emotional, you know.
It's, I'm not crying, different. You are.
exactly.
What's your first memory then, Tim? Like, if that's like what did it for you, what's the first one?
My first one that I vividly remember was, I kind of talked about it on the Community G podcast, but like to like summarize it, I saw David Beckham score a free kick right in front of me. And that man is like my idol. Like, I'm in love with freaking David Beckham, dude. Like, he is my Galaxy GOAT. And to see him score a free kick in front of me, and it was, went in like a freaking arrow, I'm like, yeah, he just won me over. And Landon Donovan as well, they played that game. But David Beckham is what really did it for me.
All right.
Mikey?
For sure. I mean, I've sort of been in and out with the Gs. And my first introduction to soccer was the Galaxy. And I did see David Beckham play against Portland when I was like 12. But I have very like,
I did too,
spotty memory of that, you know. But I feel like I've always had an affiliation with the G's because my brother's been very big on them, and it just sort of passes down. But one thing for me that sort of made it stick was last year at the playoff game against LAFC, and I was there at the bank and we lost.
And you had never been to a playoff game before.
I had never been to a playoff game, and I had never been an away supporter in my own city, but I had never felt that sting where you feel like a fucking outsider in your own city, like having to walk outside the stadium with all the other sad G fans, just being like, fuck, dude. And like, I've never been pissed about the Galaxy like that at all. Dude. Until I had to hang my head.
Passion.
And,
that's what's called passion, baby.
Yeah. I was so mad after that game. Like, you don't even understand.
Dude, I had never cried about the Galaxy, and I got really fucking close, dog. Like, I had one like drip down. Oh, I was like, fuck. Like, it was infuriating. Like, and it felt like we had something to prove too, you know. Like, I had to big dick it and be like, yeah, I'm a Galaxy fan. So what, bitch? I'll walk out of the stadium with my five ring putazo.
This is the next generation, though. Like, you guys are the next, you know?
Yeah. And I'll be straight up. I think this rivalry with the Lames is really energized by the youth, right? Because I'll be straight up, like the first year they came in, you know, I brushed them aside. I knew there was hype. I knew, you know, after first game they were gonna be good, but it was still brushed them aside, right? For me, like, and I'm sorry derailing your show again, but for me, like, it wasn't until like the first Clásico at home that I was like, all right, this is gonna be something, right? Because I lived through the whole trip, you say, and that was funny, right? Like that, yeah, lasted, like, that lasted like a whole 6 months. Right? Like that was funny, and they were never competitive. Right, like the closest matches like weren't that close, right?
They so, had like one. They had like 1 or 2 years that were like okay.
Yeah, but, you know what I mean. Like, but I mean everything about the club was bad. So like, you know what I mean. I brushed aside. Mm-hmm. Like, and for me, like, it's still like, you know, to the day, still fuck San Jose, right?
Absolutely.
And the first year, I was like, yo, like you guys are bugging. Like, don't pay attention, guys. We still got to focus on San Jose. But I seen that shift, right? And I think it's really energized by the youth. And I'm not mad at it. I get it, man. Like this is. This is your moment. Like you see another team stepping up to your team, and you're like, wait a minute. I know that energy. I like it. I fucks with it. And man, I'm cool with it. You know what I mean? Like I'm telling him, it took me a little bit to kind of get my head over around it, but I get it and I fucks with it. I'm like, yeah, go on, man. Let's go on. I like it.
I'm still on the fuck Leonard and Wando train, mm-hmm. to Rudy. Like mm-hmm. yep. it makes yep. my yes. blood boil to think back to like the McGee game and like even before that, or like Landon coming over, right? Was like super weird, and Donovan coming over was super weird. It's
crazy.
It comes and goes, right? It comes in waves, but I don't know, which we're trying to like figure out on this pod a little bit to think about, start thinking about what the bridge to whatever is next comes because of these new young G's, you know.
Well, you know what? And I'll my opinion, right? It comes when the G's win the next cup, because I remember a time when before the G's were like that dynasty team, before they were the marquee team, where we were pretty bad. You know what I mean? We had a stint of pretty bad years. And now these young G's who whether they've been around for a long time or just coming around now, like are living through a situation where we've been pretty bad. All right. So when this boat turns around, and I'm hoping it's pretty soon. And we get close to a cup or we get a cup, I think that bridges the gap, because now we're all like different eras, different teams, different players, but we've all been through the same shit. We suffered a little bit and now we're at the peak and we're living on top, right? I think that's the point where, like, you know, I mean, like even the ones beforehand, right? Like the 2002 people, like y'all, like, yep, now you guys know. You know what I mean? Welcome to the club, right?
Yeah, we really suffered last season. Oh my god, the pain was just unbearable. Yeah.
And I'm muted.
It all ties back to that. Like, it just hurts. You know, I never really felt that.
It's been 5 years, and I was in denial for a long time. In like 15 or 16, I'm like, that's not that bad. It's fine. We'll get another coach. It'll be okay. And I think that's where that optimism like was born. It was like, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. It hasn't been. But you know, we're going. And
can nobody take these chips away from me though? Right, the ones I've seen in person. So like that satisfaction, that feeling is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm hooked, right? Like, give me that hit. Like, I guess that's where my optimism comes from. Cause like I've been there, I've been to a promised land. Like I have faith that this team's gonna take me back there one day. You know what I mean? So I'll stick around.
For sure.
Like, bitch and moan, but I'll stick around.
It's all we got. It's all we got. We do a little bit of like a random section Mike's corner here sometimes where Mike talks about something random. Mike saw the Revs this week. Mike, you want to tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. Tell him.
Literally like 2 days ago, I was in Manhattan Beach and I was walking up and down the pier and I see these two guys, like two, three got like old dudes dressed up in like New England tracksuits. And I'm wearing my G shit. I'm wearing like my Night Navy and I'm just walking up and down the pier. And I stopped by and I'm like, yo, are you guys here with the Revs? Cause like, I thought they were done after the one friendly. And they're like, yeah, we're here with the Revs. Kind of being like a dick, like they're just being kind of rude. And I was
they're
like,
from Boston, man. That's
that's just how they get down.
It's okay.
And I talked to them and I'm like, yo, is AJ, Bruce, or Emma around? Like, you know, they're big for the city. Like, those are our guys out here. And I was like, shit, if I can get like a photo or like a signature, shit, I'd pen in my pocket. And they were like, nah, you know, they're not around. And I'm like, okay, bullshit, because I'm wearing all my stuff. Yeah. So I spent like 30 minutes running around.
Hey, where are they at? Beach. Where are they at? Where are you?
They were at the hotel, dog.
Could you imagine being the guys? It's like, here they go again, like asking about somebody else.
You should have added AJ. AJ is really good with the community. You should literally add AJ, like, hey, I just ran into the resident. You're around. I would love to take a picture with you. You probably would have responded. Maybe not. Dude, but like, like, you know, AJ's that guy, man. AJ's.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good, bro.
That fool George has a good relationship with AJ, and it started something along the lines, right? Like where he got caught wind that he was nearby, kind of shot him a tweet, met, and then, like, yeah, they were texting back and forth because he was in town. So like, AJ's that guy. Like, you know.
Yeah, I made it like a point of emphasis. I'm like, bro, they're so big for the community here. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah. These guys are like, I'm just trying to get coffee, man.
Yeah, for real.
All right, guys. Well, that's been another episode-ish. Thank you, Rudy, for taking the time coming on after a rough night. But shout out the pod. Shout out your project.
Let them know where we can find you.
Yeah, again, man. Thank you so much for having me. Sorry for derailing the show. I gave you free warning. I said I talk a lot, and I did a lot of shit up. So
good. All good.
Our show is just kind of like a wobbling train usually, anyway. So it's good.
Yeah,
so,
it was perfect.
But catch the pod at Straight From The Stance on YouTube, SFTS96 on Twitter, and SFTS_podcast on IG. Catch your boy Rudy at I Am Smarts on Twitch. I Am Smarts on Twitter, and I Am Smarts on Instagram.
There we go. Cool.
And Liga Galaxia, right? Thank you, Timmy and Rudy, actually, for putting so much work into it.
For sure.
Yeah. Liga Galaxia, that starts actually next Thursday, right? Like we were mm-hmm. using the mattress, placing 20 yesterday.
The website's dope. The stats. Yeah. I don't know how you guys are going to plan on keeping stats like that.
But that shit's crazy. Yeah. I went on the website. I was like, nah. Like, you know,
a lot of it's generated. I'm derailing. A lot of it's generated. LeagueAlexa.com. Check out the schedule. Check out stats or no stats, but check out the schedule. That's coming next week.
Cool. Yes, sir. Mike, where they find you?
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to the G30 podcast. If you guys haven't checked us out on Instagram or Twitter yet, you can come find us. Our handle is at G30 podcast. That is the G30 podcast. And if you guys haven't already, check me out on my socials at Instagram and Twitter at MichaelCFC and DestroyCFC.
Hit me.
Michelle, you can find me at my Twitter at SpicyTaco118. The IG is SpicyTaco18. And be sure to keep up with us in the G30 crew at G30 podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
And I am Count Chalk786 on Twitter. Peace. Later.
Peace.